The following is a Radhashtami lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on September 23, 2012, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanditam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadudam Vadijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanditam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So today is the Transcendental Appearance Day of Srimati Radharani. I remember the most wonderful lecture Prabhupada gave on this day in London many, many years ago. He taught us how we should pray to Radharani. In this way, he said we should pray. My dear mother Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. So Prabhupada explained what he meant by that. He said that Radharani, she's very soft-hearted, you see. She's very easy to approach, you see. Krishna is not so easy to approach, but Radharani is very easy to approach. So if you approach Radharani and you get her mercy, you see, she more easy to get. Her mercy is easier to get than Krishna's mercy. So if you beg the mercy of Radharani, you see, then she will tell, Prabhupada said, she will tell Krishna, Krishna, here is a devotee. He is a better devotee than me. Wow. Talk about a recommendation. Radharani will say that here is a devotee better than me. I mean, who could expect a better endorsement? That Radharani says, here's somebody who's better than Radharani. So do you think Krishna would be interested? If there's somebody better than Radharani? He would certainly be curious. Who is this devotee that Radharani says is better than me? You see? So in this way, you see, if you can beg Radharani, my dear mother, Baba didn't say Radharani Prabhu. Some people say now all the mothers should be called Prabhu, but Prabhupada didn't say Radharani Prabhu. He said, my dear mother Radharani. Because she is also a Prabhu. A mother is also a Prabhu. You see, my father is my Prabhu. My mother is also my Prabhu. So it is simply another kind of Prabhu. But still, he addressed her, my dear mother Radharani. Not my dear Prabhu mother Rani. My dear mother Radharani. Please tell about me to your Krishna. So this is the secret of how to get the mercy of Krishna. You have to beg the mercy of Radharani. So, how to qualify yourself to get Radharani's mercy? I mean, you can beg, but the mood with which you beg makes all the difference in the world, you see. If we come to Radharani or we come to Krishna with our material desires, you see, will they be pleased with us? You see, no? We have to come in a humble mood of complete submission to the will of the Lord. This is the key. You want to capture the mercy of Radha and Krishna, then you have to know the secret. You have to come in the mood of complete, total submission to the will of the Lord. You see, this is the secret. Not that, you know, I want this, I want that, I want this. And there is a list given, very nice list given by Srila Prabhupada in the introduction to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The first item is, you should accept whatever is favorable for the service of the Lord. The second item is, reject whatever is unfavorable. The third item is to always be confident of the Lord's protection in all circumstances. The fourth item is to be completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. The fifth item, and this is the one I'm focusing on right now, is to have no interest, no separate interest from the interest of the Lord. See, this is how you get Radha and Krishna's mercy, full mercy, immediately, right now, right here. You see, if you become the completely sold out servant of the Lord, of Mother, you have Mother Radharani and Father Krishna, you see, become completely sold out servant, then my dear Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, from now on, I have no desire except to do what you want me to do. That's all. I'll do whatever you want. I'll give up all attachment to anything. Simply let me have one attachment, and that is to you, to Guru and to you. I now give up all other attachments. I'm only attached to my Guru and to you. You see. If you approach Radha and Krishna in that mood, you see. If you approach Radharani in that mood, then you're going to get unlimited mercy. So, it's very important to know this part, because how much mercy do you want? Do you want a little bit of mercy? Prabhu, Mataji, you want a little bit of mercy? Or do you want unlimited mercy? You get mercy in proportion to the degree of giving up your own self-interest and owning only the interest of the Lord. You see, that's the key. Well, let's look at the reality, you know. Reality 101. Let's look at the reality. Right now, we're so full of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. All the anarchas are just sitting in our hearts for millions of lifetimes of accumulation. I mean, let's be honest, you know. We're not... It's not that you may be a Paramahamsa, but I'm certainly not a Paramahamsa. That's how we should feel about ourselves. That I'm very contaminated, I'm full of all of this dirt accumulated for millions and billions of lifetimes. So, I have to make a really concerted effort then. I have to really make a concerted effort. It's like somebody who's trying to climb Mount Everest. You can't do that casually. I'm going to casually climb Mount Everest. You have to do it with great focus, with great intensity, if you want to successfully climb Mount Everest without falling off and killing yourself. You understand? So this is a greater mountain, the mountain of pure bhakti, to achieve this summit of Krishna Prem, you see, requires great focus, great intensity. At every moment, one has to be fine-tuning their consciousness. Is my consciousness now in the mood of pure bhakti, or is it karma mishra bhakti? What is my mood? We should be very introspective in analyzing ourselves at every minute. What is my mood? Am I in the mood of Draupadi? One hand to Krishna, the other hand on my sari. You see, Draupadi part one. Are we in Movement of Draupadi Part 2 with both hands of the Krishna? We're actually in Part 1, Draupadi Part 1. One hand to Krishna, the other hand to my material desires. You see, that's the reality. So it's time to give up those desires that we have which are separate from the interest of the Lord. Especially on this very, very potent day, Radhastami. When, especially on this day, if we beg Radharani her mercy, you see, she will bless us. She's very merciful, and on Radhastami, she's 1,000 times more merciful today on Radhastami. So there's any day you're just going to say, okay, lay aside all my material desires, simply fall down at the feet of Radha and Krishna and beg, 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 beg for prema. This is the day to do it. This is the day to do it. You may say, why should I beg for prema bhakti? I mean, is that realistic? Maybe I should just beg to advance a little bit in Krishna consciousness. Well, if you go to a millionaire, or let's say you go to a billionaire, how much will you ask for? Oh, give me a couple of dollars for my bus fare. Now, if you're smart, you go to a billionaire, you ask at least for a few million dollars. I mean, you know, at least that's pocket change for a multi-billionaire. You know, Bill Gates, few million dollars, you know, pocket change. So at least ask for a few million dollars, isn't it? So actually, we should beg for Krishna prema. And what is the perfect prayer to beg for Krishna prema? I think we all know that mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're already chanting it, but what is the mood with which we are chanting it? Are we sincerely begging for Krishna prema when we chant Hare Krishna? That we can give up all our material desires and have one interest only, to serve Krishna? That's the mood with which we should chant Hare Krishna, you see. If we will chant Hare Krishna with that mood, then we will taste the sweetest nectar. Do you know how much nectar is available in these two syllables? Krishna. Do you know how much nectar is there? Well, I'll tell you, if your answer is no, you're right. We don't know. Rupa Goswami said, I don't know how much nectar is in Krishna. So if even Rupa Goswami, who is one of the intimate gopi assistants of Radharani, is actually Rupa Manjari, if even he doesn't know how much nectar there is in the two syllables Krishna, then what is our position? You see? Rupa Goswami, in his wonderful work called the Vidagdha Madhava, has given very nice poetry. He says, Tunde tandamani vriting vitanute tundamali lobdiye karna krodhaka dambani gatayate kunarvyade raspiham cheta prangana sangani vichayate savendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyadbir amritai krishneti varnadvayam. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, Krishna dances on my tongue. And when he dances on my tongue, there is so much nectar, so many oceans of nectar that my one little tongue can hardly capture any of it. Therefore, I am begging Krishna to give me millions of tongues. And when those syllables Krishna enter the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar. I require billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar. And when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. And I am stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. So Rupa Goswami doesn't know how much nectar there is in Krishna. So what is our position? Even Rupa Goswami doesn't know. What is our position? You see? Why don't we know? Why don't we experience the oceans of nectar in Krishna? It's because we're still rooted in the false conception of I am this body. Isn't it ridiculous? How many times we've heard that we're not the body? I mean, how many times has Prabhupada said it? How many times have we heard it in the classes? How many times have we preached it to others that I'm not this body? But yet, what are we still thinking? What are we still feeling? I am this body. Therefore, we are not tasting the unlimited oceans of nectar in Krishna. So we have to really realize how fallen we are and not think, you know, I'm pretty advanced, Prabhu. People bow down to me, you know. So I must be pretty advanced. They call me Prabhu, they call me Mataji, so I must be pretty advanced, you know. I put on my tilak is nice and straight, you know. My nicely folded dhoti or sari, I'm pretty advanced, Prabhu. I mean, let's come down to reality. Let's come down to reality. We are very, very, very fallen Kali Yugites. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hupadrita. We're very, very fallen. Therefore, what is our hope? What is our only hope? The mercy of Srimati Radharani. We have no hope. So how is her mercy most powerfully manifested? In the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let's see. It's very interesting, actually, the whole thing about Lord Chaitanya. You know, it's pretty interesting. I mean, Krishna is really amazed. This beautiful girl, Radharani, she's getting so much nectar from serving me. But what is this? You know, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. I'm the supreme enjoyer. How is it that I am the supreme enjoyer, but this girl is tasting more nectar than I am? Now, is Krishna one ever to be outdone by anyone? No. He's a supreme competitor. Krishna is one, so he's not going to be defeated by Radharani. So he's going to taste that same Mahabhav of Radharani, you see. So that beautiful golden-limbed girl, Garangi, Lord Chaitanya, he takes that same mood and that same complexion as Gauranga, you see. Krishna in the mood of Radharani is Lord Chaitanya, you see. So, Radharani was here 5,000 years ago on this planet. Raja Chaitanya was here only 500 years ago. And the most merciful manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's movement was just a few years ago on this planet, His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pari Vajakacharja Astatarasada Shishimad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Prabhupada is the most powerful manifestation of Radharani's mercy. You see? He is the living embodiment of Radharani's mercy. Prabhupada is so kind. Prabhupada is so kind that even his disciples are kind. That was my personal experience. I would say a wild character living in the ashram. I was checking it out in Austin back in the spring of 1971. I was a pretty wild character. Musician, countercultural renegade. Pretty wild character. And so I was staying there in the ashram, and I was quite amazed. A letter came from Prabhupada that he had accepted me as his disciple. He said, because Vishnu Jana Swami has told me that you are serving very nicely there in our Austin Center. I was thinking, very nicely? I'm serving nicely? I'm just causing trouble here. There's somehow I'm not getting kicked out of the temple. I'm such a troublemaker. And Vishnu Jan Maharaj is so kind, he told Prabhupada that I'm serving very nicely and that therefore he should accept me as a disciple. So I'm saying that not only Prabhupada is kind, but Prabhupada's disciples also. Were so kind. Vishnu Jan Swami was so kind to me. I was just a rascal causing trouble. Not a very surrendered attitude, you see. Somehow I was recommended I was doing nice service. So this is all the mercy of Radharani trickling down, you see. To Prabhupada, Prabhupada's disciples, and now you also, grand disciples, you must also become the manifestations of Radharani's mercy by preaching. You see? You must not be greedy about Krishna consciousness. You must open your heart to bless everyone with Krishna consciousness. You see? This is Radharani's mood. She wants to bring everyone to Krishna. Putting herself behind, she wants to put everyone else forward, you see. So this is the mood we need, you see. But what is our tendency? I want to put myself forward, you see. Get out of the way, Prabhu. I'm going forward to be the leader here, you see. Get out of the way. Pushing. I want to be the leader here. Get back, you see. This is not Radharani's mood. Radharani's mood is you go forward to Krishna, I will stay in the background. You see, that's Radharani's mood. So that's the person, you see, who can preach the most successfully, the most powerfully, Krishna consciousness move on this planet. Who, whatever devotees are doing that, they are the most powerful preachers who want to push others forward in Krishna consciousness. That they can become recognized by Krishna. You see. Let them become recognized. You see. Prabhupada said the 26 qualities of the Vaishnava. One of them is silent. Silent worker, you see. He's not taking any credit. The Vaishnava, he wants to give all credit to other Vaishnavas, you see. That's the mood of a Vaishnava. He doesn't want to take credit, he wants to give credit. Sometimes people say, well, Sankarshan Prabhu, your lecture was so wonderful. I say, it's just Prabhupada. I'm just a croaking toad. Somehow Prabhupada, his mercy, if some words came out of my mouth and inspired you and enlivened you in Krishna consciousness, it's not me, it was Prabhupada's mercy. That's all I can say. You see? So in this way, we always give credit to our spiritual master. Our spiritual master gives credit to Prabhupada. Our Prabhupada gives credit to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Everyone, we give the credit up the line, you see. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya, Narada Muni, credit. And then Krishna gets the credit. What does he do with it? He throws it back down to the devotees. Even Krishna doesn't like to take the credit. Prabhupada said that Krishna, he wants to see that his devotee will be the hero of an episode of which Krishna is actually the doer. Is it? He wants his devotee to become glorified. Therefore we sing, Ebe as Gushuk Tribhuvana. Your fame is spread all over the three worlds, you see. The Vaishnava's fame is spread all over the three worlds by Krishna. So if we can take advantage of this wonderful, wonderful mercy of Radharani coming down through the disciplic succession, take the dust of Radharani's feet upon our head in the form of the purports of Srila Prabhupada. Actually, Prabhupada's purports are the foot dust of Srimati Radharani. You see. If you will take Prabhupada's purports and cram them into your brain, so you can see everything in terms of what did Prabhupada say about this, what did Prabhupada say about that. If you can see everything through the eyes of Prabhupada's books, then you will always be getting the torrents of Radharani's mercy raining upon your head. We have to see through the books. We have to see through the books. If you don't see through the books of Prabhupada, if that is not your vision, Prabhupada's books, vision, you see. Chakshus. Prabhupada's books, chakshus. If you don't see through the eyes of Prabhupada's books, then what will you see through? How will you see things? We will see through our own rascal minds. So we have a choice. You can see through the eyes of Prabhupada's books, or you can see through the eyes of your own rascal mind. Why do I call our minds rascals? Because our minds have dragged us to the cycle of birth and death for millions and millions of lifetimes. The body has been given up with each and every life, you see. But that mind is stuck with us. That mind has kept us entrapped in the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, we say, rascal mind. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, here's a special program for you when you get up in the morning. Beat your mind with shoes 100 times. And in the evening, give your shoes a break, get the broomstick out of the closet, and whap your mind 100 times once again. You see? So, we have to not take the mind as our dictator, you see. Don't let the mind tell you what to do anymore. And we have to follow the wonderful guidelines of Govinda Das, poet Govinda Das. Bhajavrure mana Shri Nanda Nandana Habhaya Charanara Vindare. My dear mind. I'm going to lay off on the shoes and the broom for a minute. I'm going to tell you, you're my dear mind. Flatter you a little bit. After beating you with shoes and brooms, now I'll say, my dear mind. Kindly engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. You see? In this way, bring that mind into control. See everything through the eyes of Prabhupada. Prabhupada has perfect vision. And if you take the corrective lenses of Prabhupada's books and see everything through the eyes of Prabhupada's books, you will become a perfect seer of everything. That's a fact. And any person in the world can become an enlightened sage simply by taking Prabhupada's books as his vision. You see? And when you apply that knowledge, what is the result? Jivan mukta sa uchate. You become a liberated soul even here in Kuala Lumpur. You can be living in Goloka Vrindavan with Krishna and the devotees and Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Simply take Prabhupada's books as your guiding principle. See everything through Prabhupada's books and always act according to Prabhupada's instructions. And I guarantee you, you will taste the sweetest bliss every day. You wake up with a big smile on your face. Wow! Another day to be Krishna conscious. Another day to serve Prabhupada's mission. Another day to serve my spiritual master. Another day to serve the devotees. Oh, Krishna, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Krishna. There's nothing between you and Prema Bhakti except for the rascal mind. So we have to tame that rascal. We really have to tame that rascal. And Radharani will help us. So, I can ask now, if you wrote some questions down, you can pass them up now on the paper. If you haven't written one down, go ahead and write it down. Anybody have any questions written down? We passed out the paper for questions. Thank you very much. The difference between Srimati Radharani and Lakshmi. Actually, the gopis are sometimes called Lakshmis also. It's like Bhakti Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. They are called Lakshmis also by Lord Rama. So the gopis are the original Lakshmis. And the original gopi is Srimati Radharani. Lakshmi means goddess of fortune. So all the Radharani is the original Lakshmi, the original goddess of fortune. And every other Lakshmi is simply an expansion of Radharani. What is the greatest sin in practicing Krishna consciousness? The greatest sin in practicing it is not practicing it. That's the greatest sin. Just like someone said, you know, I don't want to chant because my rounds are really offensive, so it's better I don't chant. But that is the worst offense against the holy name is not to chant it. Even if you're Namaparati number one in the whole universe, still you must chant. You understand my point? So, I think that applies to at least some of us. So the greatest sin in practicing Krishna consciousness is not to practice it. And the second greatest sin is called Vaishnava Aparadha. And see, Hatti Matta. If you are offensive towards Vaishnavas, Krishna will never bestow prema bhakti upon you. He absolutely will not do it. Absolutely not. Forget it. You'll never get prema bhakti as long as you have an offensive attitude towards Vaishnavas. Why? That is answered in Adiparana. Ye me bhakta jana aparta, na me bhaktishta che janaha. Mad bhakchanam chi ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Krishna says, my dear son of Prita Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas. Not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So if you're not being offensive towards a Vaishnava, means you're not a devotee of that Vaishnava. So what to do if you have some offensive attitudes towards some devotees? Well, learn how to worship them within your heart. Let's say some devotee really mistreated you. Has that ever happened to anybody? Sure, it happens all the time. We're all neophytes. We sometimes really rough with each other. That's a fact, let's be honest, you know. We sometimes are really crude and rude in our behavior. So we've all experienced some devotee was very crude and rude to us, isn't it? So what do? Do you maintain an attitude about that devotee? Yeah. No, you think, let me see the wonderful qualities of that devotee. Let me think about one of the wonderful qualities of that devotee. And one little trick I found is think, well, how would Prabhupada see that devotee? What would Prabhupada's vision of that devotee be, you see? Try to have a wonderful, find some wonderful quality in each and every devotee that you know in the whole movement, you see. Every devotee, find something wonderful about him that you can appreciate that quality, you see. Every single devotee. This is how you can avoid Vaishnava aparadha. Develop genuine feelings of appreciation for every single devotee. Can you serve other gurus than your spiritual master? You must serve other gurus than your spiritual master. You must serve all Vaishnavas other than your spiritual master. But there is a difference. Prabhupada explains in one letter to Sri Galim Prabhu. Actually, I was there when the letter arrived in Austin many years ago. That the one's authority is your initiating spiritual master. He is your authority. Others can also be accepted as gurus who are helping you to serve your spiritual master. They're instructing you in such a way that they're inspiring you to be a better servant of your spiritual master, you see. They are called Siksha Guru. The Siksha Guru assists you in serving your Diksha Guru. So we have one Diksha Guru, we can have millions of Siksha Gurus. You see. So we must be respectful to every devotee and serve every devotee. And see what we can learn from every devotee how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So we are meant to serve not only our initiating spiritual master, Our temple president is there. You see? Our GBC. These are representatives of Krishna. They are representatives of our guru. The temple president is a representative of the spiritual master. Therefore, we must serve him. He is our siksha guru. By serving him, we are pleasing our spiritual master. So you must serve other gurus. Why? Because your guru wants you to. Your guru has ordered you that you must surrender not only me, serve not only me, but you must serve my god brothers, you must serve your authorities, and you must serve each other. That is the order of every spiritual master in ISKCON. All of us ISKCON gurus are telling our disciples, serve our god brothers, serve your temple authorities, and serve each other. You must do this. This is how you serve me, by serving your authorities, by serving my god brothers, etc. How do I know that? Because that's how Prabhupada trained me. Prabhupada personally told me, do whatever the temple leader says. He ordered me like that. So by serving my temple leader, I know that I'm serving Prabhupada. You see. How do we understand the devotees of my devotees or my devotees in the context of the devotee of Lord Shiva? Shiva has a... There is a Vaishnava Sampradaya, the Rudra Sampradaya, coming from Lord Shiva. So those devotees of Lord Shiva, they are devotees of Krishna, because they're taking Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava Acharya and serving him in that way. Can you, Grace, please explain about the pastime of the deity of Radha Shama Sundar manifested from Radharani's heart in Vrindavan? No, I don't know the lila. Can't do it. But, as a general statement, actually all the deities are a manifestation of Radharani's mercy. Okay. Where is this said in the Smriti, the four verses mentioned it? Where is it said in the Smriti and the four Vedas that Krishna is the Supreme? If you look in the... There are many nice quotes. Whoever asks this question, kindly go to Bhagavad Gita. Look in the purport to chapter 10, verse number 8, where Prabhupada gives many references from the Vedas that confirm that Krishna is the Supreme. Simply look there, the purport to Bhagavad Gita 10:8. Okay, next question. How to strengthen your faith in Krishna and get the determination to serve him? Very nice question. Faith is inseparable from the living entity. You can't, no one is actually faithless. Even the skeptic puts his faith in skepticism. So everybody has faith in something. So the real meaning of faith is to put your trust in something that is sublime. Sublime means it bestows unlimited benefit. So, one has to understand that by putting my faith in Krishna instead of, you know, President Obama or whatever people put their faith in, my insurance policy, my dog, my wife, you know. It's like one songwriter, you know, the government, some people put their faith in the government. So one should understand what is the benefit of putting my faith in God, Krishna. And when you understand that one gets unlimited benefit by putting faith in God, to the degree that you put your faith, you get more benefit. In other words, if you understand the benefit of strengthening your faith, in other words, why should I strengthen my faith? How to strengthen faith, they're asking. Well, First thing one should ask is, why should I strengthen my faith? What am I going to get out of it? Am I doing it because I'm supposed to be a good little boy? You see? Because I'm supposed to have faith in God? Because my parents told me I had some... No, you have to know why you should have faith in God. What is the benefit of having faith in Krishna? You see? If you understand scientifically, logically, and philosophically, and scripturally, what is the benefit of having faith? Then you will naturally be inclined to do it. And the strengthening of faith is actually described by Rupa Goswami in the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu. Because there's two kinds of faith listed in this shloka: Adau Shraddha, Tata Sadhu, Sangata Bhajana Kriya, Tato Nartat, Nabhittishat, Tato Nishta. You see, Shraddha is preliminary faith. And when that preliminary faith, Shraddha, becomes strengthened, it becomes Nishta, or firm faith. So the real answer to this question of how to go out to strengthen faith means, how do you progress from preliminary faith to firm faith? And Rupa Goswami has kindly enlightened us in this regard. The way to progress from preliminary faith is to take the next step, which is called sadhu sangha, associate with Vaishnavas. Your faith becomes stronger the more you associate with Vaishnavas, and that means serve the Vaishnavas, hear from the Vaishnavas, engage in the six loving exchanges with Vaishnavas, you see. That's called sadhu sangha. That will strengthen your faith a little bit. And then when you see what the devotees are doing, they're taking initiation, diksha, they're making commitment to 16 rounds at least every day, no illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication, gambling, then you do the same thing. You select a guru, you get initiated, you see, now your faith is becoming more strong. But still you haven't achieved nishta yet, or firm faith. Your faith is now strengthening, but is not fully firm yet. Initiation is just the beginning. Then after initiation, what is the next step? Anartana vritti. Now that's really a big project. Clean all the anartas out of your heart. Prabhu, Madhaji, Sankarshan Das. We have to clean all the anartas out of our hearts, you see. All that lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, that illusion, that envy, that's just completely hardened crud, you see, sitting in there. Whew, it's hard to get out that stuff out. You ever try to clean a pot that nobody had cleaned for 25 years? Well, this is for 25 million's lifetime is worth of crud. That 25 year blackened pot is nothing, Prabhu, compared to the dirt in our heart. So you got to scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub. Chanting, hearing, navavida bhakti. You have to diligently engage in this process 24/7. Without any break, without any deviation. Not I take a little break for a little pop, you know. Have a pop break. No pop breaks. You see? Strictly follow the regulated principles in all times, all places, and all circumstances. Not when I'm on the airplane, I'll cheat and eat some boga. In all times, all places, and all circumstances, follow these principles. And by doing that diligently, you're scrubbing and scrubbing the dirt out of your heart. And finally, you get that thing cleaned out to where at least Rajagun and Tamagun are completely gone. Now you've attained Nishta, or firm faith. And of course from there, then you have to clean the Sattvagun out even further. You've got to do more cleaning. That Sattvagun has to be turned into pure Prema Bhakti. So that's how you do it. Okay. To get Sri Krishna, you have to get the mercy and please Radharani, Nishananda Prabhu, Guru, so many. It confuses me. Why can't we focus on one? It's very simple. This, whatever, that's why Guru is there. You see, Guru represents all of them. Completely surrender to your spiritual master. That is the process. One should, Prabhupada says that one should take the order of one's spiritual masters, his very life and soul. Through your guru, by serving, who is a representative of all of these, you see, by complete dedication to your spiritual master, you've made everything perfect. Focus on pleasing your spiritual master. Someone told me that Krishna doesn't listen to us until we get pure devotional service. Somebody didn't know what they were talking about. Krishna hears everything. Krishna, even without your saying it, Krishna knows every thought you have. Prabhupada said, Krishna, he told us in Vrindavan at the lectures he gave at the Rupa Goswami Samadhi back in 1971, he said, Krishna has a book. He's noting down everything that you do. He said, Yamaraj also has a book. So we want to be in Krishna's book, not in Yamaraj's book. Krishna is noting every devotional thing you do. Every time you think of him, Krishna notes it down. Oh, he thought of me. He looked at my picture. You're in your house, you have a picture of Krishna on the wall, you know, you look at it. Krishna noted, he looked at my picture. Krishna is noting every single thing you do in his service. And Vyamaraj is noting all the other stuff. So you want to have a clean slate with Yamaraj and a full book with Krishna. That's the goal. Okay? Can we become your disciple? Well, if you're already initiated, no, you cannot. Reinitiations are bogus. And if you're not initiated yet, and you're chanting 16 rounds and following regulated principles, and your temple authorities feel you're ready, all right, I'm ready. Can we use electronic counters occasionally? There's also the mechanical ones, click, 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 clickers. There's the mechanical and the electronic clickers or counters. So the question is, can we use them? Well, when Prabhupada was here, nobody used them. I can tell you, not a single... We never even dreamed of using clickers when Prabhupada was on this planet. No one even thought of such a thing. Because when we got initiated for our chanting, what did Prabhupada give us? He gave us a clicker, right? Here's your clicker, Prabhu. Prabhupada gave us beads, and in his Bhagavad Gita purport, he says, you should chant the Hare Krishna mantra round the beads. It's right there in his purport. So, but I really find it's easier to chant on a clicker. Prabhu, can I just do that? Is it all right, Guru Maharaj, if I do that? Well, one disciple asked me, he said, it's okay if you do 16 rounds on the beads. Then you want to chant extra rounds on the clicker. I have no objection. That's what I told him. Now, there could be some situation where you can't chant on beads, and there's no choice but to chant in a different way. I mean, that could happen. It happened to me one time. I committed a heinous crime. I was distributing Back to Godhead magazines. And the police came and they arrested me. And they put me in jail. And I had no beads. So I always chant on my beads, but that one day I couldn't chant on my beads, and I'm sure Prabhupada excused me. I chanted on my fingers, you see. So it's like we chant Gayatri, you know, and the 10, we count to 10. So you can also chant around on your fingers, and you can do 10 over here. You go 10, and then 20, and then 30, and you go 100. And the last time you just stop here, and you got 108, you see. So I did have to chant on my fingers one time because I'd been arrested and I didn't have any beads in the jail cell. So some, there could be extenuating situations where you have to chant your japa by other means. And I understand that. We're not fanatical, you know. But if you have your beads available, you should chant your beads because that's Prabhupada's order. You should. And our time is now up. I was given a note to end at 10, and I see it is now 10 o'clock. So I appreciate so much how so many of you come today to worship Krishna and Mother Radharani. It's very inspiring to see all of you bright-faced Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, a bright-faced sannyasi. It's very, very enlivening to be here today, to get inspired just by your sangha. So I thank you all very much for being here and for serving Prabhupada's mission here. And please take this process seriously now on Radhashtami and beg for her mercy that she will tell about you to her Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimati Radharani ki jai.